I don't know if you know this, but summertime is a time for summer camps, and Sweathead is going to run its third summer camp this July to August over 4 weeks. It's called the Sea Word Awakening from July 18 to August 10. We're going to focus on the four C's: consumer truth, cultural truth, competitive truth, and company truth. In the middle bit, the center bit, another C. And then we're going to give you a taste of comms planning as well. You're going to hear from Tassisopoulos from Wyden and Kennedy, Simone Pratt from Saatchi and Saatchi, Dylan Viner from Triptych, Jenny Chang, cultural strategist, Nick Susi from .. TBWA, Seth Gaffney from Preacher, Christina Pansaloni from Irico, Maria Van Busco from Media by Mother, Shane Rennie from Wyden and Kennedy, and me, Mark Pollard from Sweathead. For more details about how to join us in the Sweathead Strategy Summer Camp, go to sweathead.com. Your C-word awakening awaits. What's up and welcome to Sweathead with Mark Pollard. Today I have a couple of people from Costa Rica, beautiful country. I have Eric Apuy, who's CEO of Interaction, and I have Monica Gonzalez, who's the strategic planning lead at Interaction. Interaction is one of the most awarded agencies in Latin America. They're listed in the 2022 or on the 2022 Effie Index, and this interview is part of a series we're doing looking at the world's most effective ad agencies and trying to find out, how do they do that? So to both of you, welcome.
Thank you, Mark.
Thank you, Mark. We are so excited.
Now, tell us a little bit about Interaction, Eric. It's your baby. You have an agency, but you have several agencies, several companies. What's the structure of this beast?
Well, yes, as you said, I'm the founder of Interaction. I started the company in 2010. Interaction is in three countries, Costa Rica, El Salvador, and Honduras. And we're looking forward to expand to Panama and Guatemala. Right now, the whole group manages like a media company to do the media buying, and also sister agency where we are like running more like content clients, like for smaller fees and that kind of things. We are 86 people in Costa Rica, and the whole group is 150 people. That's part of what I've done these 13 years. Yeah.
Where are your clients based? Are they based in Costa Rica? Are they spread through the countries that you have offices in? Or are they based outside of Costa Rica? What's the split there geographically?
Most of them are here in Costa Rica, but we run the advertising for whole Latin America or Central America, most of them. But we also have a lot of customers that are only Costa Rica located, you know? It's a little bit of everything.
How would you describe the advertising and tech scene in Costa Rica? I've just heard murmurs over the years. Like, I spent 10 days in San Jose, and it was close to the downtown area because we had to do a visa renewal for the US, and so we didn't go too far. We were a little bit nervous. Had great day zip lining. It was awesome. But I've only heard murmurs about Costa Rica. Like, there's some good, obviously some digital nomads there from outside of Costa Rica, and then a good but small tech scene. How would you describe the advertising and tech scene in Costa Rica?
Costa Rica is a small country. We are 5 million people, and it's a really small, the city is small and that kind of things. Actually, digital nomads are coming a lot since the COVID. But how do I describe this? It's probably a little bit different of what most of people is, they are used to see in advertising, you know, because we are like one of the most technological countries in Latin America. There is a huge penetration of the internet above 90%, I guess, of the population. So digital advertising is like really evolved or sophisticated. The people know how to use platforms. They know how to use the new social media apps and that kind of things. So that's a little bit different from the rest of countries of Central America, you know, because people know how to deal with TikTok and that kind of things. While in Central America, there are no internet in every single area of the countries. That's a little bit of the context that we have. So we are a little bit different, but we are also super connected as a country and as the society and culture.
It's interesting because one of the things that really left an impression on me, and it could have just been the people we were around, but Costa Rica as a country, I think, has a very developed, mature, and strong point of view about nature, about the wilderness, right?
That's true. And it's super important fact of us. We are really into the nature and we love to preserve it.
Summarize the awards that you've been winning, because you have been winning some awards in the past few years.
We have like more than 300 awards in the last 4 years. Just last year, we won at the London International Awards, New York Festivals, Mad Stars in Asia, El Ojo de Iberoamerica in Argentina. We were shortlisted in Cannes, and we won Effie Costa Rica. We won the Grand Effie in Costa Rica. We won Effie Latam. And we are expecting to the next year to be in the best of the best of FE Worldwide.
Monica, how does strategic planning work at Interaction? Is it like everywhere else? Is there anything different about the way that you work?
Definitely not. If we compare ourselves with other agencies here, we work differently. We have the strategic, like general approach is our most valuable asset as a agency. If I have to describe it, I would say we have like two fundamental approaches. We always need to understand the behavior of the target because we have a really specific context. As Eric was saying, we are a really small country with a pretty specific kind of behavior of the target. So we really have to understand the context and the context of the brand. We like to understand or work really with the client marketing plan. We prefer always like to be really involved, understand the opportunity or the problem of them before we do any kind of move. That could be like the general approach from Interaction.
And do you find that clients in Costa Rica, the ones you attract at least, are they interested in strategy? Are they okay to discuss problems? Or do you have to convince them about that?
We have both kinds, I would say. We have the kind, they're mostly big clients, of course, or big companies that are always like asking us for more and good and the most efficient strategy that we can do for them. And in the other hand, we have the small clients that they don't understand why do we have to do a strategy. Sometimes they don't want to pay for that. But actually, also in your report, you were talking about a lot how a strategy right now is not a nice to have, it's a must to have, right? Because if you don't do a strategy, you're like walking blindly, right? So yeah, we have to deal with that, but not with our big clients. I would say that would be with the smallest. And actually, other agencies don't have that. So the big clients are coming with us because of that.
And a question for both of you, because I don't know who's best to answer this. At what phase in the agency's evolution, and then why did effectiveness and specifically entering the Effie Awards become important?
First of all, I want to add something about what Mona just said. That is what makes us different here in Costa Rica. I used to call it the context, just like that. For us, context is the most important asset that we as an agency can have. So we always try to educate the clients to give us the right context about their brands. Also, what is happening in the business? We are always trying to ask to the marketing manager to be more involved in the business of his own company. So that makes us really different. And actually, that's the reason why most of companies look to work with Interaction here in Costa Rica or Central America, because they want an agency who knows about the business and wants a partner who to walk with an objective. You know what I mean? And in the other hand, as we are an independent agency, we had to find a way to penetrate the market. So first thing we did was, as the big agencies here in Costa Rica, when we started, we're aiming to traditional marketing. We found a gap in the digital specialization, you know what I mean? So what we created was a value proposition that let us take that brand and give them the most effective media marketing mix to reach the goals. So that was really different because no one were trying to invest a lot in digital advertising. So what we did was like our value proposition was, we're going to give you the right media mix, no matter our commission. You know what I mean? So it was different because here in Central America, most of agencies wanted to make the customers to do the advertising in the most profitable newspaper, for example, or in the most profitable TV channel. So what we did different, we did like the right mix. And as a result of that vision, we start creating more visible campaigns and more like innovative campaigns and things that people were not looking before and that kind of things. So that led us to be like more effective reaching targets. And we were one of the first companies that started working like with hyper segmentation and that kind of things here in Central America. So as a result, and with the right read of the context, we started become like the most effective agency. And the later of that, what we did was we hired a really strong creative team. So right now we have like super strong strategy team and also a super strong creative team. So when they are together, it's always like a big campaign.
Interesting. So it sounds like largely what you believe existed before you found your place, it was clients kind of doing vanity buys, just wanting to appear in the big, cool, famous things, which is probably okay. But then you added, I guess, a more thorough investigation and better media mix, ended up being effective and then started to enter effectiveness awards. Very cool. How would you describe the creative culture?
Competitive. That's it. We are a super competitive company. It's in our ADN and everyone is trying always to do a better work than the last year. We are never satisfied and we are always like really into the customer's problems and into the objectives and always trying to do the best. And so how are we? We are competitive and our culture is super competitive.
What are the clear stated goals for the company from a creative point of view every year, like winning a certain number of awards, for example?
We're not aiming to win awards, actually. The award, it's the result of a campaign that our customer applauds for us. So if the campaign is not good, if the customer is not happy, it's not going to be in the festivals. But if the campaign was good, had the results, and the customer is super happy, so we put it in every single festival. You know, it's something like, what's first? Try to win awards or win awards with your work? So what we do is we try to win awards with our successful work.
So how do you discuss the creative ambitions of the company? Do you have a certain phrase? When you look at work, do you ask certain questions of it?
There's a lot of things that I say about the awards, but the most important one is if you saw the campaign and it was ours, it's going to be in a festival. If you did not saw the campaign, it doesn't worth to be in a festival because it's not the right way to win an award. You know what I mean? You have to win an award when your campaign was a complete success and everyone knows that it was you and it was great and that kind of things.
So when you talk about the agency being competitive, I understand that it's competitive with other agencies and competitive with the world. Is it competitive internally too?
Actually, I was talking about internally. Here in Costa Rica, there is not a lot of award culture. As everything, you know, the people who don't win, they said, I don't want to win. But what I think and the way we see the creativity, it doesn't matter if you do not win, but you have to be there if your campaign was good for the client. So it's not about the award. It's about the culture around the awards. The award is just a recognition of a great job, but you have to be there for us. And what happens here is, for example, in the FE index, last year, Costa Rica is a small country, so there were only 12 awards for the agencies, and Interaction won 8 of those 12 awards. So it's a big difference between the other companies. And also in Central America, there are not a lot of culture. This year, only Honduras were in festivals around the world. I guess you saw them in Cannes. They won like 5 awards. Awesome. But the way we see this is we need to be competitive with us, and we need to be like the example to have a better industry around the awards. I think the awards are great. I think they are important, and I think they can change people's careers. But that's us, not exactly the industry.
Monica, are you competitive with the creative teams? Describe the tension.
There's always a tension there because not all of them are used to work with the strategist. As I was saying earlier, in other agencies, they have a more implemental approach, like executing approach. Yeah. So when they get here, they are like, why are you telling me what to do? Maybe at the beginning. But then when they understand how we play partners with the client and we understand the moment of the brand, and then we create a whole complex strategy, then they see the results. It's kind of they like convert to us to decide. They're like, I'm not working without any kind of strategy here. Like when maybe a project manager led them a task, and they are like, which is the strategy approach of this? Then, but at the beginning, of course, it's difficult and not all creative directors or CCOs are like completely used to work with the strategy. Right now we have a new CCO and he is the opposite. He is like strategic centric. I think that's so cool and good for us because it's, of course, doing the difference.
What are the 3 of the key elements on a creative brief for you?
I think the moment of the brand, I think like, which are the main goals of the brand right now? Like for a couple months, maybe then a 6 months overview, or maybe in a couple of years. Where is the brand right now? It's like beginning in the market. It's like it's fighting with other competitors. So where is the brand? That's the first one. Then I would say the context, right? I think Eric were talking about that. He was like, if you don't understand the behavior of your target, you need to know how is the target of this brand. Okay, so moment of the brand, the behavior of the target. And then I would say the platform and the media mix that would fit best for you. And of course, the budget.
Here in Costa Rica, as we are small, the budget is really important because the media mix is lead by the budget.
Smart person. Hey. Pull your mind out of those timesheets for a second and take a look at the Sweathead website. We have three membership levels, Starter Mode, Flight Mode, and Beast Mode. They give you access to a variety of strategy masterclasses, conferences, accelerators, and online learning, some of which has been known to make people cry because they like it, they like it, they feel seen. Make the most of your mind this year or any year and visit www.sweathead.com today. Now back to the interview.
Do you have anything like a single-minded proposition or a key message or a strategy statement on the brief as well?
From interaction or that we ask the client?
On your creative brief.
In Spanish, it's the detonante estratégico. In English, I guess it's like the key...
strategic platform or something, maybe.
We can say like the key message. As planners, we have to deliver the creative.
The strategic trigger.
Yeah, it will be a strategic trigger. That's right, because it's not always a message. It's always like an action. So it's not always like something that we need to say. Sometimes we have to do something differently.
Interesting. Do you use the word trigger in Spanish, but do you use the word trigger as like a tagline, like you're going to get triggered? Interaction, or you're going to get triggered? Is that your whole thing?
We say like detonante. It's like triggered your ideas, triggered results, triggered concept.
All right. Are you ready to take us through some case studies? Where do you want to start? You want to start with that big... gold-winning case study from last year. Tell us about the brand. Take us through how the work happened and what the work was and then the results.
Okay, yeah, sure. To be coherent, I will start with the context of this case study because it's different and actually can give you like a better idea of the way interaction thinks. I'll be super honest with this because there's a success story and there's also like a not that successful story in this case study. The first thing is, in Costa Rica, there is a monopoly in the electricity distribution. Only the government can sell electricity. There are companies that are hydroelectric plants, and they can only sell the electricity to the government because it's a monopoly. What happened was that the government found that they don't need to buy electricity from private hydroelectric producers because Costa Rica has a 98% of clean energy for the last, I don't remember, 7 years, I guess. So what happened, it's like there are $800 million in assets from private hydroelectric power plants. So when the government found that they don't need the electricity, they started canceling contracts from private hydroelectric power plants. So they were shooting down the private industry of these hydroelectric plants. So here comes the most honest thing. The first thing that we did, the first approach of the customer to us was, please help us to try to make the government buy from us. But it was really hard because the government did not need that. So it was like an impossible task.
Is it one hydroelectric plant or is it a group of them?
A group of power hydroelectric plants. What they did was they started asking us for a campaign to create some pressure with the government and that kind of things to make the government buy electricity from private producers. We started that campaign and it was a failure. But then, thinking about the context and what was happening, we saw that the crypto mining was a thing and crypto was trending around the world. So what we did is start doing some research and we found that crypto had a really strong environmental footprint. For example, one crypto transaction equals 700,000 credit card transactions if you see it from the environmental impact. So what we did was that we proposed to the client to rent a space in their hydroelectric power plant to mine crypto with free energy. So that way, we were not selling energy. So we were under the regulation of the monopoly. And we create like this data center where people around the world could rent a space with affordable rates to mine crypto. The result was simple. The company began to be more profitable than to sell energy to only one customer. They diversified the customers around the whole world, and the valuation of the company changed because they were no more hydroelectric power plant. They are now a data center. And in January of this year, a publicly traded company from the US bought data center. So it's a really interesting case about business transformation, but its strategy lead this change and this all these things. And it's awesome because there were a lot of different professionals around this project. Actually, the accounting team from the agency were involved in this project. So it was awesome because we were like the first green crypto mining center in the world. And today, it's a multi-million dollar company.
That sounds like a dream project for a lot of people who'd be listening to this. How did you get paid for it? Were you just charging head hours? Did you get any money from the sale?
No, obviously no. We are only the agency, and our task was to do a great strategy. But that's what we do. Obviously, I would be really happy if I could have earned a little bit of the transaction, but it wasn't that.
So business strategy plus communication or advertising.
And business transformation. And something that I want to add is like today, creativity is not only about doing a beautiful advertising app. Creativity can solve business problems. And that's the reason why we are always behind our customers for marketing, trying to push them to be more into the business with the management of the company. So that way we can have better insights, better information, and that led us to have a better context of where the company is and how we can help them to solve their different problems based in strategy and then creativity. What I want to say is creativity is not only an ad. Creativity is a way that can help you to solve a problem. And if it's a business problem, it will be better.
I think like creativity is not like an ad, just a pretty ad anymore. I would like to say that maybe we don't like to see ourselves like as a hand of the marketing plan of the client. We like to see ourselves like alone, like a heart, like we have to get really involved with them, solve business problems, not communication problems anymore.
Yeah, I think that's the dream of a lot of people. And as you were talking, I've been interviewing people back in Australia, where I'm from, and New Zealand and smaller markets. And a lot of strategists, they want to be doing meaty work like what you just described. I'm sure that kind of project would be the wet dream of most strategists in the world, where they get to affect the business and the advertising potentially. And I was like, you know, in New York, would that kind of thing happen? I don't know. I don't think so. I feel like it's in the smaller markets and maybe the markets that are maturing, where sometimes you can get that opportunity to go a little bit deeper. In New York, the swimming lanes are very clear. You make TV ads, you do social media, right?
Yeah, sure. It's because we live in a small country. Most of people know everyone, and companies have a lot of needs, and you can help them where you are. So companies are not like crazy huge. They are like 100 people, 200 people. So it's easier to get to the CEO or the board of the company so you can move things faster. You know, you don't need to wait for an answer from this guy, blah, blah, blah. No, it's more quick. The case is called From Hydro to Crypto, and you can find it in our website, interaction.cr, if you want to see it. Yeah, sure.
All right, let's do another one.
Awesome. Let's see. Probably I would like to say we have this case for Burger King called Vote Your Way. It was in 2018, but it was a really smart move. Costa Rica has a really strong democracy, but in the last 50 years, we had, and in 2018, the worst political campaign, because everyone was fighting. And in Costa Rica, we have like 14 different candidates. There are not only two, we have 14. So the environment around this political campaign was really messy, everyone fighting against everyone. So we start having issues to be trendy with the brand. What we did was, I remember the planning says like, if you can fight them, join them. So what we did was like, we create like this Whopper and invited every single candidate to join a Whopper in our restaurant and make people make peace with every single candidate. So the Whopper, you know, like make the candidates get together, sit in the same table and have a lunch sharing a Whopper. So every single media channel was there, helicopters, like $1 million in PR value and that kind of things. And the campaign was almost free. What we did was Facebook post and a Whopper for each candidate. We did some games there. We put the people to play football in the restaurant, that kind of things. But it was awesome because we were like the center of attention. We reached the goal of being trendy with the brand, because when the political campaign started, it was almost impossible to talk about any other topic that wasn't political. But that way we won the, you know, place in the trending topics in Costa Rica.
And does that kind of idea come out of the creative team? Is it out of the strategy team? Does it matter?
I remember there were a lot of people in the room. What we were saying was like, we cannot be trendy if the political campaign is being this way, you know, because there were people fighting and there were a lot of memes, you know, and that kind of things. So the strategic team told, like, if we can't fight them, join them, bring the politics to the brand. And there started like the idea and that kind of things, and it worked. But it was more like a real-time thing. We were like sitting, working, and we were sharing ideas really fast, you know, thinking.
Brainstorming.
And it was awesome because it was a complete success. We won Grand Prix at Wave Brazil. We won almost Grand Prix at every single festival in the world. It was also a Grand Effie from Costa Rica and Gold in Effie Latam.
And also the Burger King upgrade their results in sales in that month. So it was also an FNC successful result in sales.
That's a great example of not running away from a problem and actually like just staring at the problem, loving the problem, and using the problem to your advantage. I guess the psychologists would call that sublimation, but it's a nice piece of creative problem solving. Edward de Bono, he'd be very proud. Do you have a third one?
Yeah, I have a third one that we can share with you guys. Let's see. It's also about Burger King. It's great because I'm going back to 2016. The reason why I want to share with you this case study, it's because if we had to do that campaign today, the campaign would be, you know, like innovative also. What we did, I don't know if innovative is the word, it's more like vigente. How do you say vigente?
Maybe it will surprise everybody. It will surprise everybody as well today or in 2018.
2016 it was.
16, I'm sorry, yeah.
Burger King left Costa Rica in 2014 or 2015, I don't remember, because of brand things. So there were 2 years in Costa Rica, there were no Burger King. So the people forgot the brand, other restaurants got the, you know, the brand recognition, the kind of things. Burger King wasn't here. That was. And when they left Costa Rica, they fired more than 500 people, and people were like angry with the brand of the kind of, that kind of things. What we did was we had three challenges. We were chosen to do the launch of Burger King Costa Rica, but we had to create a demand of the product, tell the people that we were here, and also bring some empathy to the with the brand, you know, because people were like angry with them. So what we did, we create a Whopper dealer, like a drug dealer. But this guy had an history. He used to work at the restaurant and he knows how to cook Whoppers. So we tactically spread a message in WhatsApp and social media of a print screen of a conversation of the guy telling someone, "I assure you that my Whoppers taste like the original Whoppers." And people can see the phone number, that kind of things. We create a methodology with the strategy team to spread this message, not using influencers, because it had to be real. It had to be legit. So what happened is like people started to asking for Whoppers. And the Whopper dealer had like a paper bag with pilot written Whopper. They asked for it. It was cheap. And the Whopper dealer go to your house and give you the Whopper. The result was like the campaign lasts only 2 weeks, but we started receiving more than 7,000 or 6,000 messages a day, and we only delivered 200 Whoppers. The reason is because we had to create like this demand, the people wanting to have a Whopper. So it was awesome because there were not a lot of Whoppers for everyone. So when someone received the Whopper, he shared it with everyone in social media. And I have a Whopper and it tastes like the same. It's awesome. Blah, 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 blah. And then Burger King globally, it says here in Costa Rica that they wanted to give a press conference. So everyone were there because the Whopper dealer became really famous. And the media asked, are you guys here to demand the Whopper dealer because of the brand usage? And they were like, no, we're here to hire him because we want he to be like the cook lead of our new restaurant in La Sabana, in Parque La Paz, actually. So there the people started celebrating, like, the Whopper dealer has the job. And so we won the empathy there. Also, we create like this demand of the Whopper. And in sales, the Burger King of Parque de la Paz were the number one in sales as unique point of sales worldwide with 3-hour lines for the next month and that kind of thing. So it was awesome and something that is better. Our customer had a huge campaign with huge media coverage, almost spending nothing because the Whopper dealer was like a drug dealer, actually, you know, but the difference it was like he sells Whoppers. That's our third case, and it's pretty cool. That case also won everywhere, and it was awesome.
All the cases you've shared show that advertising might be involved, but there's a deeper level of thinking and a playfulness with the problems. The creativity really happens with the problem before communication is decided, right? Is that most of the work that you do, or is it just the ones that happen to...
As you see, we are always trying to solve business problems. And that's what led us, you know, we want to solve business problems with creativity and leverage with advertising. That's our dream job.
Very cool. Very cool. Monica, let me ask you just a final question here, because, you know, you were kind enough to give us some time for the report that we did, What Strategists Want from Work. I don't know too much about the scene in Costa Rica. I know that it's small. It's obviously a beautiful and much loved country. What was your reaction to what you saw strategists and strategy bosses around the world saying about, you know, what strategists want from their workplaces and what strategy bosses want from their strategists? What was your reaction?
It was pretty refreshing because I feel like it's not that different for my way of thinking. I mean, like, I really think we have to give the juniors the, I would call it the proposal freedom or the freedom of proposing. I don't know, because they need to feel they can create new forms. They can bring a new way of thinking. So what I feel when I read it, it was like, we are really aligned. Of course, that gave me like inspiration and sort kind of security about my way of working. I think in interaction, we not only give the freedom, we have to create new forms because we have to work with different challenges every day, different kind of clients from different industries. So we cannot have like a formula, maybe a structure to follow. You have to sit around, think, how can we solve this problem? So you can propose new platform, new ways to get data, and new ways of investigate maybe. So it's not only that you can do it, you have to do it here. So the feeling that I have when I read it, it was like, we are really aligned, and that made me feel secure and with inspiration to work like this.
That's awesome. I'll be interested, as interaction grows, can you stay flat? Can you keep pressure on the problem? Because there's a temptation that as you grow, you naturally become a little bit more bureaucratic. So I think that's going to be something interesting to watch. Where's the best place to find out more about interaction? Like, if people want to read the case studies, they're on the website, is that right?
Yes, in our Facebook page, of course, we have information, and in our Instagram page, of course. But maybe if you want to study the cases, you can visit our website.
Yeah, sure. Our Instagram is interactioncr. And if you guys want something to know better from us, or if you want to reach us, you can write us in social media, our website, or in Instagram, and we will be there for you guys.
All right, Eric and Monica from Interaction in Costa Rica, congrats. It's very refreshing. I love this kind of thinking. This is the kind of thinking that made me shift from being in the digital part of the agency world and in sort of dev companies into the more mainstream part of the agency world. And then I moved to New York and I was like, these kinds of ideas are not super common here relative to the number of ideas here. New York felt more traditionally about the message and ads. But I love these ideas because these are the ideas that I grew up with at Leo Burnett in Sydney. Just weird, wacky ideas that maybe happened to have an ad connected to them, but operated at a different, deeper, more mischievous level. So I love these ideas. May you continue to make many more of them, and good luck growing this dynasty, Eric.
Let's hope for that.
Thank you, Mark. It was a pleasure to talk with you, and see you later.
Peace. Thank you for listening to this episode of Sweathead. If you enjoyed it, please share it with a friend, subscribe to our newsletter, find us on Instagram or LinkedIn at Sweathead. And if you're interested in finding out about our strategy, memberships, company training, or books, visit sweathead.com. Whoop, whoop.